Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game.
It may be the nighttime,
but the sports talk doesn't stop.
Sports talk radio that's live, local,
and not for the faint of heart.
Oh, no!
Sometimes angry.
Loud noises!
Telling it like it is.
You insulted him a little.
Pretty much always right.
Don't ever argue with the big dog. Big dog is always right.
Text or call 404-741-0929 and be part of the show.
Well, we're waiting.
Live from the Kia Studios, it's time for the John Chuckery Show. Serving you up sports on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And we're live in the Kia Studios of Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Well, it's appropriate. We got lots of wrestling music and intros tonight as SmackDown invades Atlanta. They were up in Knoxville, Tennessee for Raw last night. SmackDown. Chuckery's here, though. I'm not there. I'm here. We should have remote broadcasted State Farm Arena for all of that. How cool would that have been? Yeah. Oh. Well, that's right. I forgot. Hey, everybody out there, don't tell anybody out there we got a show at night. Shh. We don't want promos or anything like that. Hanging with you for the full four tonight. Yeah, or water. Yeah, we're back at it till 11 o'clock tonight. Streaming online at 929thegame.com. It's our new and improved website. Catch us live, replays of shows, interviews, breaking sports news, 929thegame.com. Download your radio.com app. Put that on your device, whatever you carry around with your phone, tablet, boombox, turntable, CD player, Laserdisc, Walkman, Commodore 64, just put it on your device. Social media is all at 929 The Game, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all the platforms there to interact with us. The best way is always to interact through our personal Twitter handles. I'm at JMCH316, at JMCH316. It's all your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. He is producing the show, hanging out tonight behind the glass. Jarvis is in the house, at JarvisD90, at JarvisD90. Lots to get into with you tonight as the Braves get back in action with a magic number of 3. Now, a win tonight by the Braves, that knocks another one off. A loss tonight by the Nationals, that knocks another one off. And with all that is the fact that by tomorrow, we could be talking about by tomorrow night before we go off air, we may be talking about the NL East champions, which obviously it's going to happen. At this point, it's a fait accompli that it's going to happen. The part that I think is interesting is the fact that if you look at the wild card standings, Washington is hanging on for dear life. They've got the same number of wins as the Cubs, but the Cubs have one more loss. So they have a half game lead over the Cubs for the number one wild card spot. It would be the Cubs going to Washington right now would be, if it ended today, Cubs going to Washington would be the wild card matchup. But then the Milwaukee Brewers are only one game behind the Chicago Cubs for the second wild card spot. So, you know, Washington struggling as of late, 4-6 in their last 10. The Brewers are 9-1 in their last 10. They're red hot. I mean, they've rallied around the idea of no Christian Yelich, no problem. By the way, you know Bryce Harper had more RBIs when Yelich got hurt than what Yelich. Anyway, sorry. He had, 9 less homers but drove in more runs than Christian Yelich. But it's okay. I don't want to get in that discussion again because, you know, facts aren't people's friends in anything. But anyway, so those three teams battling. And I'm going to tell you, I'm rooting against that. I'm rooting for the Cubs in Milwaukee to have a wild card game. I would love to see Washington just get knocked completely out of the whole playoff picture. Now, the Phillies are 5 behind the Cubs right now. Now, basically, they're five behind the Cubs and the Nationals at this point because there's only a half game, like I said, that separates. Again, the Cubs and Washington have 82 wins. Chicago's got 68 losses to where the Nationals have 67 losses. And then you have Milwaukee, who is sitting at 81-69. So technically, they're a game and a half behind Washington's record at this point. So it's hairline minuscule. But I will tell you, because I already know the Braves are going to win the NL East. I know that's a fait accompli, and that's coming for sure. Now it's just a matter of I'd like to see Washington get knocked out of the whole thing. I'd like to see Washington just take it on the chin and not even get a chance to make the playoffs out of all of this. And it's becoming very interesting. I'm not sure the Braves are going to catch the Dodgers at this point. Four games difference between those two teams. Unless the Dodgers collapse and they're 6-4 like the Braves in their last 10, unless there's some kind of major collapse. Because one thing is for sure, the Braves have a very favorable schedule down the stretch. We talked about this. You know, they've got a couple of games against the Royals, who, by the way, they've won 56 games. Oh, yeah, a series against the Mets. They're only four games above 500. They're 77-73, and so much for them being on that hot streak because they're 15.5 behind in the division. And then a series against the San Francisco Giants, who sit right now at 72-78. So a very favorable down-the-stretch schedule that if by chance, you know, maybe the Dodgers somehow kind of stub their toe, you know, and you know, which is hard to imagine the Dodgers being that good. Now, the problem is the Dodgers have San Diego, San Francisco. They've got Colorado. They start a series with Tampa Bay tonight, actually. So, but they've got Colorado, San Diego, and San Francisco as far as who they're going to end the season with after they get this two-game set. Now, Tampa, obviously, I think they're the wild card leader in the clubhouse. Them and Oakland, I think, right now are the two wild card teams in the American League. But San Francisco's below 500. The Padres have only won 68 games, and the Rockies only won 66. So, again, the idea of trying to catch the Dodgers, they'd have to really play god-awful against some really bad teams, and I just don't see that happening. You know why? Because those three guys don't let you get into losing streaks. And we've talked about this all the time with the Braves. That's the advantage of when you have Scherzer or Sale or Ryu or Kershaw or Buehler or Verlander or Cole. You don't get on long losing streaks. That's the advantage of, you know, the way Mike Soroka has pitched this year, he keeps the Braves from getting into a long losing streak. And Dallas Keuchel's done a lot of that himself this year. That, you know, every fifth day you feel like, okay, even if things have been going bad for us and things haven't been going right, when you got that guy on the mound, when you got that dude that you can throw out there every fifth day, you know, that's how Washington can stay afloat for so long. Is like they've got a couple of guys they feel like, okay, every fifth day I've got Strasburg or Scherzer that I can trot out there, and I feel like I've got a real chance to win this thing tonight. Well, that's the Dodgers. Except they've got three of those guys that you feel like, okay, when that guy's on the mound, I feel like we can go win a baseball game, you know, almost guaranteed. And that may be, you know, realistically, that's the number one difference between Atlanta and L.A. I don't think the Dodgers are a better lineup. I don't think they're better middle relief. They're probably better on the back end with Jansen, who's not having a great year, but Jansen's still really, really good. But they have those three guys at the top of their rotation. And that's what's going to be fun with all of it. That would be fun to watch if it was Washington and L.A. That's a fun pitching matchup to see how they match those three guys up. You know, their three versus their three and see what happens all of it. But I'm rooting hard for Washington to just not even make the playoffs. I hope the Cubs and the Brewers end up making it when it's all said and done out there. So Braves most likely end up with the number two seed out of all this and play the St. Louis Cardinals, who have kind of, I don't want to say come out of nowhere, but in a lot of ways they have kind of come out of nowhere. Because I think everybody thought Chicago and Milwaukee were the class of that division. And give the Cardinals credit, man. They've done a lot of good work this year. You know, their pitching staff is, you know, they don't have one of those dudes. They don't have a guy that's had that kind of year for them. I mean, Wainwright's 12-9, but he's got a 4 ERA. I mean, Wainwright has been that good before, but he ain't that great this year. Dakota Hudson's got a really good record. He's been really solid for him. Flaherty is a guy who strikes out a lot of guys. He's their big strikeout guy, but you know, they don't have a guy that's been totally dominant. Flaherty's 10-8. ZRA is really good at 305, but he's got over 200 strikeouts. He's the big strikeout guy. He averages almost 11 strikeouts per nine innings for that team. You know, they're gonna be a tough out. I mean, I'd still rather play them than the Cubs. I really would. I'd still rather play St. Louis than the Cubs. But you look at with Ozuna, you know, with obviously Paul Goldschmidt, Colton Wong, Yadier Molina. You know, they got some guys that can whack it around. Now, Carpenter's not had the kind of year that that they'd hoped for. Dexter Fowler hasn't had a great year either. You know, Colton Wong's had a pretty solid year from both a home run and a stolen base standpoint. But you know, they're not you look at their numbers. You know, Goldschmidt's got 31 homers and 89 RBIs. Ozuna's got 28 homers and 86 RBIs. You know, they're not going to have that top to bottom fear factor the way that the Braves lineup is going to have. So we'll see. Should be interesting stuff. And we're going to talk some Braves baseball at 7:40 about some of these injuries. Coming up next, we all kind of joked about maybe Julio Jones having his best yardage season ever this year. Maybe he's on pace to have his best touchdown season of all time. We'll break those numbers down next. Chuck Reed, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 910 The Game.
3 on the play clock, 2-1, snap to Ryan. Here comes Philly, quick throw. This is Julio Jones, 45-40, 30, 25-20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown Atlanta. Holy goodness smokes.
What a great call by either Matt Ryan or Dirk Cutter or both.
Oh, yeah, Wes and Dave on the call. Falcons Radio Network there. Big touchdown for Julio Jones the other night to seal the victory for the Atlanta Falcons. John Chuckery Show back in the Kia Studios with you. 404-741-0929. That is our phone line. That is also our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to interact with the show. Best way is through our Twitter handles. I'm at JMCH316, at JMCH316. He is at JarvisD90, at JarvisD90. So, you know, we heard Julio Jones in the offseason. Remember when he made the comment about getting 3,000 yards? You know, and again, obviously in a joking manner and things like that. But I myself thought that, okay, maybe he could make a run at the yardage record. You know, he's you know, had one of the better yardage numbers of all time. I was trying to look. I think it was like 7th or 8th or something like that in a single season. You know, coming off a year last year where he led the NFL in yards with 1,677 yards. He's also had a season where he led the league with 1,871 yards. So, you know, twice in his career, he's led the league in yards. But the number one critique I think people always have of Julio Jones is the touchdown numbers, because he doesn't have those gaudy numbers for touchdowns. Now, he has 3 touchdowns on the season. That leads the NFL, by the way, for you know, as far as touchdown receptions go. It's interesting because if you look back over his history, and this is his, what, 3-6? This is his 9th year with the Atlanta Falcons. You know, the season he got hurt, he only played 5 games. He only had 2 touchdowns. As recently as two years ago, he only had 3 touchdowns for the entire 2017 season. Now think about that. He had 88 catches for 1,444 yards and 3 touchdowns. Okay? Last year, 113 receptions for 8 touchdouns. 79 catches. His best season for touchdowns was that 2012 season. And I was just looking at a couple of trends that he had through his career as far as touchdown receptions go. For instance, he had 3 touchdowns after 2 games in 2014. So it's the same thing that he has this year. 2014, he had 3 touchdowns in the first 2 games of the year. He only had 3 more touchdowns the entire rest of that season. Think about that. He had 3 touchdowns the first 2 games, okay?
And then he had only three touchdowns the remaining 14 games to finish with six touchdowns for the year on 104 catches. Now, in 2012, when he had the 10 touchdowns, he only had two after the first two games. So he's a little bit ahead of that pace this year. And obviously, if you just talk about raw pace, he's on pace for 24. Now, that's not going to happen. He's not going to have 24 touchdowns. In 2015, it was interesting because he had four touchdowns after the first three games of the season and then only had four more touchdowns the remaining 13 games of the season. So there has been a couple of times where he's gotten off to a decent start as far as touchdowns have gone and then not done a whole lot. And then you have a year like last year where, what was it, the first 7 weeks of the season, he didn't score and then ends up scoring eight touchdowns in nine games. So it's a weird dichotomy when you look at Julio. But I think that with Dirk Cutter back and, you know, the way this offense is, and look, they obviously are going to, he's still that dude. He's still that dude that things have to funnel through. And when things are not going right, when in doubt, go to Julio. I'm really hoping and thinking that this could be maybe his best touchdown year. That maybe this is finally that breakout season where we get that 13, 14, 15 touchdown season that we've almost kind of begged for since Julio's gotten here. You know, that 10 touchdown season, which is his only double digit year for touchdowns, that came in year number two. Now remember, in his rookie year, he only played the 13 games. He missed three games due to injury that year. And he had eight touchdowns that year. So it wasn't like he had a terrible year, but he had eight touchdowns in only the 13 games. Comes back the following year and plays in 16 games, has 10 touchdowns. And I think we as Falcon fans at that point looked at it and said, okay, you know, we've obviously know we've got our great wide receiver and we've got our dominant wide receiver here. You know, now where's all the touchdowns? And it just kind of is, it's not lived up to expectations. The next season, 2013, is the throwaway year because he only played five games. He scored two touchdowns in those five games, but only played five games and only had the two touchdowns. From there, it's been 6-8-6-3-8-3 this year. Got three this year. So he's already matched his total from 2017, and he's already beaten his number from 2013. Even though he's only played two games for this season. Let's hope that this is that year where Julio puts up that big kind of number. Because it seems to me that if he finds a way to be a 13, 14, 15 touchdown guy, then this offense should run pretty well. That if he's the guy that's able to get touchdowns, and, you know, again, all the great wide receivers get doubled when you get down in the red zone. You know, Odell Beckham, Antonio Brown, everybody. They all face that, you know. But you also see, like, watch the game last night, the Monday night game. You know, you run those plays just like they did with Julio on Sunday night where get him open in some space and let him run past everybody. You know, it's not just about for Julio Jones that – he's got to score in the red zone, or you got to throw it up to him four times in the red zone, you know, or two or three times, you know, a la like they did with the Philadelphia Eagle game from, a couple seasons ago, or last season, I guess it was. You know, you don't feel like it's got to be with Julio that he's just that red zone target and you have to force it to him. You should be able to dial up enough plays like what he had the other night against Philadelphia to where you get him in space, and he gets clear, and he can take those jets, and he can run as 20 miles an hour as they registered him on the radar gun or the shoulder pad thing or, you know, the cyborg chip or whatever. Maybe he's a cyborg, and that's what they did was just register him through, like, a Terminator type of chip. But if this is the year that Julio has that big touchdown type of year, then this offense could be pretty scary. And it feels like they're still kind of working out what the kinks and the bugs are offensively right now. You know, getting their offensive line set with injuries and things like that and getting McGarry up to speed from from a conditioning standpoint, from a health standpoint, you know, from a lack of reps just because of him being a rookie standpoint. So, you know, the right-hand side of the offensive line is trying to catch up and try to figure some things out. Still don't run the football effectively enough. They still need to be a much better running team when they need to be a good running team. Not a matter of they have to pile up lots of yards, but Freeman's only got 41 yards on 19 carries for Devontae Freeman. Ito obviously has a really nice yards per carry with 63 yards on 10 carries. But between the two of them, that's 104 yards, and throw Matt's yards in, 131. You know, so they basically have 130 rushing yards through the first two games of the season. Tough as the season goes on, if you're only going to average 65 yards a game rushing, that number has to go up. And I think that just makes that offense even better, is that if that threat of the running game is there and this team doesn't have to be one-dimensional, now you create a lot more opportunities for Julio. And like I said, that part of the offense, probably a work in progress. I don't worry about Matt and Julio and their timing and connection and things like that. That's why I was a little bit disappointed with what Julio said last week, where he said, well, you know, the contract wasn't a distraction, but it did cause me to get less reps and this, that, and the other. Nobody wants to hear that, Julio. And you can't snap a D-lead one week and say, look at my numbers. I don't play in the preseason, but look at my numbers. And then say, well, the next week come out and say, well, I didn't get reps and things like that. Don't. There's no need to feed into that narrative. No need to feed into all of that. So it's a great start for Julio in what he's done thus far. 11 receptions for 137 yards. He's averaging 12.5 yards per reception. I was trying to see kind of where that puts him in his normal. So that's a little bit lower than what he typically is. He was about 14.8 last year, 16.4 the year before, 17 the year before. But again, I'll trade a lot of that yards per reception if that touchdown total is going to go whoop, going to go way up. Let's hope that this offense finds a way to get the ball more in his hands, whether it's short passes, in space, let him run, going to him in the red zone, whatever it takes. But there's never a reason why, with all the offensive personnel and with Matt Ryan as the quarterback, there's never been a reason why that is easy to just say, you know, it's pinpointed on this, or what have you, that Julio Jones shouldn't be a 9 to 13 touchdown wide receiver every year. You know, there shouldn't be years where he's got 3 or 5 touchdowns. He's too good of a player. You know, he puts up too much other big numbers in between, you know, the 20s to not have the touchdowns to go along with it. And that's been the big difference about what people love about Antonio Brown, is the fact that he will get 12 or 13 touchdowns. He will have that big double-digit touchdown type of season. So I'm hoping by, I don't know, game 10. How about that? By game 10 at the latest, he's already got his single-season high. He's already got that record beaten of 10 touchdowns. I'd like to see it. I'd like to see it. That would help. That would help, you know, quiet down some of the naysayers and things like that as well. And like I said, if he puts up those kinds of touchdown numbers, then there's no reason why this offense can't be top tier. It's already got all the personnel that it needs to be, you know, one of the 2, 3, 4 best offenses in all of the NFL. Now let Julio start scoring a bunch of touchdowns to go along with it. Hey, when we get back, how much are the Braves hurt by their bench injuries? We'll take a look at who's in, who's out, the walking wounded that is the Atlanta Braves, and what it might mean moving forward. Chuck Green, the Kia Studio, Sports Radio 910 The Game.
Ender Dansby, all of a sudden, and now Cervelli, Camargo, Charlie. I mean, it's hard to recover that and to cover it, especially this time of year. Everybody's done. I mean, it's just we kind of are who we are right now.
Braves manager Brian Snicker bringing us back in on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, live from the Kia Studios. It is the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you on a Tuesday night. Is Braves already up? You heard Paul Crane. Paul Crane already giving updates. Crane drops, fallen from the updates from Paul as
They're up 1-0. Ozzie was just racing around the bases a few minutes ago for a triple, and Josh Donaldson brought him home as well. So Braves trying to add to their lead, and they just did. So, going right at Philadelphia and win a bunch of games and see what happens. Figure it out from there. 404-741-0929. That's our phone line. That's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. If you want to interact with the show and be a part of it, best way is through our personal Twitter handles. Follow me at JMCH316, at JMCH316. I sound like a stone-cold Julio hater right now. Does that sound like I hated on Julio? You act like Julio can throw to himself. Okay. Didn't he, like, slip and fall on... Okay. All right. I mean, so if I say Julio's the best wide receiver in the NFL, and when I say he's our best football player, is that hating on Julio? People really have weird ways they interpret things, don't they? Like really. Like, I don't know, man. If you brag on somebody and talk about how good they are, you're hating on them. Okay. Man, I'm confused. I'm getting too old in life to where there's a lot of things I realize I don't understand. I don't understand how people, like, interpret things in life the way that they do. I guess I live a much simpler and easier life at times. Maybe too simplistic. So, anyway, at JMCH316, at JarvisD90. So, obviously, the Braves fighting through some injuries. Freddie Freeman back at it and should be okay. Should be able to play through everything. He does have some bone spurs in the elbow. Of course, Nick Markakis recently coming back from that broken wrist that he had. Brian McCann back for all of it. But, you know, the one thing that the Braves are going to be hurt by as they go into the playoffs is the fact that their bench is not going to be the same. It's Charlie Culberson, we know, going to be out for the rest of the year with multiple fractures in his face. I mean, you know, just a horrendous situation that he found himself in. And then, of course, Johan Camargo with the broken shin bone from the ball fouled off on his shin and broke his shin bone, and he's going to be out. But, you know, when you look, that's the two guys that you really count on through your infield that if there are problems and issues. Now, yeah, Riley could play third base, no doubt about it. Echevarria can obviously play short. I don't know if he plays second or not, but we know he can play short. But, you know, you really lose a lot of flexibility off your bench. Now, again, are those guys, you know, mainstays to where you can't overcome? No. You know, Camargo hasn't had nearly the kind of year that he did previously, hasn't had nearly the kind of season that he did a year ago when he was the everyday third baseman for it. And I really thought, anyway, when you started looking at the roster, and we kind of last week started kind of breaking down our playoff roster, you know, I thought Billy Hamilton would make the roster anyway, just because you want that speed factor. You want that factor of having a guy who can race around the bases and score a winning run from first base, you know, if need be. So I thought he would be on the playoff roster anyway. You know, we talked to Gabe Burns last week, and he was kind of questioned about whether or not Austin Riley for sure would make the playoff roster, you know, with given some of his struggles of late. Now, Ender Inciarte looks like he will be back potentially this coming weekend. They've got the Royals, I think it is, this weekend. And the rumor and innuendo, as we say in the wrestling podcast world, as we get ready for SmackDown here in Atlanta tonight, is that Ender Inciarte, they will activate him off the IL and have him playing. So you would think going into the playoffs, well, I shouldn't even say it that way, but is your outfield potentially Ronald in left, Markakis in right, Ender in center? Or are we talking about, you know, Matt Joyce finding a way to get a start? I think more than anybody who probably benefits from this is potentially a Tyler Flowers. That a Tyler Flowers potentially makes this roster, even if it's a matter of three catchers that they keep. Obviously, Cervelli hurt right now. He's not playing. He's got the contusion on his hand. I think they said by the end of the week, they expect him to be available. You know, in limited action, of course, very limited action,
you know, he's done a nice job. You know, Cervelli's 7 for 17, 412, hasn't homered, but he's got five doubles, a triple, and four RBIs out of all of it. And I'm not one that thinks that Tyler Flowers should be on your first round playoff roster when you're talking about a five game series. But maybe from a flexible roster, you know, because obviously Culberson's a right handed bat that you don't have. Maybe Tyler Flowers stays on, and that way you could use Cervelli or Tyler Flowers as a potential right-handed pinch hitter and not have to burn through all of your catchers. You'd still have a backup plan for all of that. So it definitely does have a big effect on, especially from the middle infield. You know, now hopefully what you hope for is that, you know, everybody else can stay healthy and you don't have to worry about subbing in for Ozzie, subbing in for a Dansby, you know, subbing in for Josh Donaldson. Now, we said, again, Riley could play third base. You could use Austin Riley at third base. And at this point of the season, you want McCann catching, you know, everything through the playoffs. Like, there's no reason when they go into the playoffs to rotate catchers or match up. Let McCann hit all the way through. Lefties, righties, I don't care. I don't care what the splits tell me. I don't care what the sabermetrics tell me or whatever like that. Just let Brian McCann hit and catch the whole way through out of all of it. But it is a shame because, like, all that middle infield depth is kind of going away. And I'm not sure Echevarria would have made the playoff roster had he been healthy. Now, I'm not sure if he was a guy that would have made it or not. Depends on how many pitchers that they depends on two things, truthfully. How many pitchers they wanted to have for this first round five game set, and whether or not they would have carried three catchers or not. So probably truthfully, Tyler Flowers does maybe benefit more than anybody, because on my playoff roster, I'm not playing Tyler Flowers. I'm sorry. But he can't, I mean, forget his offense. I mean, he gives you very limited offense. He does have 11 home runs and 254 at-bats, but .228 batting average. He's been miserable, you know, as far as batting average over the last month or two. But Cervelli's done such a nice job, and the fact is true that frankly, Tyler Flowers can't catch anymore. So it should be interesting, because the playoff roster now with all these injuries probably looks a whole lot different than it did just probably even 2 weeks ago. All right. I like the way Jarvis wrote this up. The Pirates closer may be coming to a close. We'll talk about that story next. Not a funny story, but we'll talk about it next. Chuck Green, the Kia Studio, Sports Radio 910 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.